Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, annual pass holder changes, possible cast member pay increases.
Galaxy's Edge gets another name, Pirates returns soon, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of June 6th, 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Therese Urban. First off, a big shout out to Nathan for becoming a DL Weekly patron this week. For supporting the show, our patrons receive some pretty neat extras like access to our private chat, bonus episodes, and some DL Weekly support swag. This week was actually recorded and live streamed for our patrons that are at the cast member level and above. So again, thank you to Nathan for your support.
And another patron thing that we're about to do right now. So coming later this month is our first patron guest discussion episode. We're going to pull a name out of our Mickey ears hat to see who our first guest will be. Teresa has been dying to
this. I have. I've been so excited about this.
So everybody who's at the patron is a patron. Their name is in this hat.
Yes.
So if we pull, we will be in contact. You get to pick the topic you want to talk about for the discussion. We'll work out all the technical details and we'll have you on later this month. So
this is everybody that's a patron. So it doesn't matter if you are
what level, yep.
$1 general admission level, yep. All the way up to our lead level. Your name is in here, so good luck.
We're gonna pick one. Who are we picking? People on the live stream can James is producer James coming down. And it is who is it?
It's Priscilla.
Yeah, Priscilla.
So Priscilla, we will be in contact with you. And you get to pick the topic, and we will do another drawing next month for the next patron that's going to be on, so look forward to that. If you would like a chance to be a guest on the show, become a patron at DisneylandWeekly.com/support, and your name will be included in the next drawing. Now, let's get to the news. This week, the Disneyland Resort made some changes to its annual pass holder program. So one of the biggest changes from all of this is the fact that there are now different days and different blockout days for each of the two parks. And this is obviously getting ready for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So for instance, if we look at this year compared to next year, because that's when the changes will take place, if you have a Southern California annual passport, which you can only get through renewals right now anyway, this month of June, you had 19 days that you could access both parks. Next June, you will have 0 days for Disneyland and 20 for Disney California Adventure. If you have a select annual passport, you would have 4 days admission to both parks this June. Next June would be 0 for Disneyland and 3 for DCA only. If you have a deluxe annual passport, this year you'd have 25 days to both parks in June, with only 13 for Disneyland and 17 for DCA next June. For the Signature Annual Passport and the Signature Plus Annual Passport, 30 days for both. Those have not changed. So the biggest change here has got to be for the Deluxe Annual Passport, going from 25 down to 13 at Disneyland and 17 at Disney California Adventure. What do you think?
You know, unfortunately, I mean, I feel for the annual pass holders, but I understand why Disney's having to do this. I think with, you know, the introduction to with the new area and the new land, they don't really know what to expect. I think they're expecting huge turnouts, which I wouldn't be surprised if there were. So they're trying to better prepare themselves. And I guess the best way to try and figure out numbers, unfortunately, annual pass holders are always kind of a variable. You have, say, there's, I don't know, 1,000 people with an annual passport. You don't know that I mean, it could be all 1,000 of those people come that day or none of them do. So I think, unfortunately, with the numbers that they're expecting for attendance, it's just too much of a variable right now that they're not able to take. And like I said, I feel for my annual pass holders because that's got to be a bummer.
But I think it's necessary.
Yeah,
I think
the business end.
Yep. And I think that it's good that instead of just blocking out more days, that they still allow you to get into California
Adventure.
Yeah,
I think that's nice, too.
And if you want unlimited access, just get a Premier Passport.
All right. So who would have thought that we've already be talking about this? But Mickey's Halloween party tickets are on sale for annual pass holders as of June 5th. This year, there will be 15 different nights to choose from. It looks like the first party will be on the 19th of September, falls on a Wednesday. And then, of course, the final party will be on Halloween, which falls on a Wednesday also. So it looks like, depending on the week, most weeks there's at least two parties. A couple weeks, it looks like there are threes. There's all sorts of dates. I'm not going to go through all of them. Most likely, though, they're falling on Tuesdays and Fridays would be your best bet. If you do plan to go to Mickey's Halloween party, just so you know, little tip, it looks like the admissions do go up the closer you get to actual Halloween.
Which makes sense.
Makes sense. So, for instance, the first night, the gate admission for it is $105, whereas on the last night on Halloween, it goes up to $130. Not huge, but still makes a difference, especially if you're going with your family.
Yeah, and actually, I think it's fairly reasonable. Like I've said before, with all of these extra tickets and stuff, you know, you get a ton of candy. You get like $130 worth of candy when you go. So the cool thing here, though, is so if you were to visit, in the example here, if you were to visit on September 19th, you could buy a one-day ticket good for 10 hours in the park, which is from 8 to 6, or you buy the $105 Halloween party ticket, which is good for 8 hours, from 3 p.m. to 11, because Disneyland will close early for the Halloween party. So it kind of depends on what you want to spend your money on. And then, you know, what I've seen online, tons of places, I do want to go to a Halloween party. It's like on my bucket list.
Yeah.
Because there's so many character meet and greets and things like that going on that really just kind of, you know, I think make it worth it for all the different experiences you could have for the price. Well, some cast members of the Disneyland Resort have the opportunity to get a 36% pay increase if the Master Services Council accepts Disney's proposal. The proposal would increase the minimum wage for these jobs to $15 per hour, 2 years ahead of California's minimum wage hike to $15. The council represents Teamsters Automotive, Industrial, Theme Park, Service Sector, and Allied Workers Local 495, United Food and Commercial Workers Local 324, Service Employees International Union, United Server Workers West, Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers International Union, Local 83. So this is something that's going to, the 36% would be between now and 2020. And so that's, so it'd be tapered from now until then. So it'd be going up to $15 by 2020. And so I think this is good. I mean, anytime you're going to pay the people better, although I'm still a little disappointed that it's only $15 an hour.
But that's the minimum. That's what you're starting in at. So
that's true. But I just feel like, you know, there's been stories lately about how people, cast members, are living in their cars and they're staying in hotel rooms because they can't like afford all this different stuff. So I think that Disney should pay as much as it possibly can. I mean, rates and stuff goes up. Attendance has been crazy, you know, crazy levels. So I just don't see why they can't figure out something to pay the cast members more. And I mean, I get it. I mean, they employ literally thousands of people. But I guess I just want more. I want the people that are there to make us happy. I want them to be happy, because when they're happy, then we can be happier.
Well, if you haven't already heard, the new village that will make up Star Wars Galaxy's Edge will be called Black Spire Outpost. So we already knew that the planet is Batuu. And so now we have an actual village name. So Tay and I both thought that that sounded like a pretty cool name. We did forget to include this in last week's episode, so we do apologize because this is a little bit delayed news. But I think it sounds cool.
I'll be honest, I like Black Spire Outpost a lot better than I like the term Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
So I'm actually kind of excited for this. And they also released some more concept drawings and stuff for the land, too. We'll have a link in our show notes to that. But anything with this land, I'm excited to see, because it's the next big thing after Pixar Pier opens this month. So.
It just sounds so edgy.
It does. It does. Well, this Friday marks the return of Pirates of the Caribbean with the new Fastpass machines. So that'll be cool to see how that kind of all works out with the crowd that we talked about previously.
I've got my fingers crossed for this. I'm hoping
it
for everyone's sake that it will make it better.
And then, of course, the new Rock, because they had a permit to do all the Rock work that I'll be seeing. Be interesting to see what they come up with that. Plus, on the same day, as Red appears for the first time or in a different capacity in the attraction, she will also be out in New Orleans Square meeting guests for the first time.
Looks like her debut is actually on June 8th. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So to help celebrate Pixar Fest, the Pixaramic Orchestra, presented by Triple Dent Gum, which I didn't quite... This is a brilliant Easter egg. Sorry, sidetracking. This is a brilliant Easter egg. So I did get the get to watch them and see them perform live when I was there a couple weeks ago. Great. If you guys have an opportunity, go see them at the park. If you can't go to the park, I would definitely recommend for you to maybe see if there's a decent video that you can watch them online. They're very entertaining, very high energy. But they kept going and doing this little jingle about Triple Dent Gum, and I didn't quite catch it. And actually, earlier this week, it finally dawned on me. It is an Easter egg to Inside Out. So I don't know, you've seen Inside Out, correct?
Yeah.
So you know when they are going back through the like deep storage of memories, the Triple Dent Gum jingle is the thing that they keep popping up to get stuck in each other's heads. So I thought that was a really cool, very hidden,
that is good,
very hidden Easter egg. But anyways, they have been performing daily at the Paradise Garden Bandstand. Their wacky style includes traditional instruments, but it does also have unconventional ones like kazoos, slide whistles, and duck calls.
I know you like the kazoos one.
Yes, it was fun. But they will be moving to a new location at Pixar Pier later this summer. So I was pretty excited about that since they just came out with, you know, Pixar Fest. I'm hoping maybe they'll be sticking around a little bit longer too. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, because they got that new band shell area in Pixar Pier that they're going to be kind of at. So that's great. Well, a new Disney Parks Pandora collection was released earlier this week. With Peter Pan celebrating its 65th anniversary this year, Pandora has created a set of three new park-exclusive charms. The set includes a Peter Pan charm, an It's a Small World charm, and a Fantasyland charm. The It's a Small World charm is of the clock face, and the Fantasyland charm is a quote saying, "I live in Fantasyland," with an image of the castle. These look pretty cool. I saw the It's a Small World one, and I'm like, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, they are neat. So, for those of you that don't know, Pandora is just a brand, and they make... It's basically a a different twist on charm bracelets. So, they're either beads or the actual, you know, traditional dangle charms. They are a little bit more on the pricey side, but they are very high quality, very classy looking charms. And I think it's just so neat that they have a specific Disney line and then also a specific parks line that's exclusive. And a lot of times, like these, you can actually only purchase these in the park unless you're going to pay, I guess, up the nose through eBay or something. But
so do you think they're going to add more to it and make more attractions part of it? And
oh,
stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
First, the Master of Mystic Arts, Dr. Strange, has been visiting the parks recently. Guests can meet him over in the Hollywood Studios backlot in Disney California Adventure. Dr. Strange, Black Panther, Black Widow, Captain America, Spider-Man, Loki, Thor, and Gamora will be meeting new recruits for a limited time this summer. So obviously, I think that we keep seeing more and more of these characters, these superheroes, doing more meet and greets with guests, trying to get the hype for what will be, we don't know what it officially be called, but for now, Marvel Land.
Yeah.
When I was there, I saw Doctor Strange. Let's see, who else did I see?
Spider-Man.
I saw Doctor Strange, Captain America, Spider-Man, Loki, and Thor. I saw Gamora as well as the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy, too. That Groot is so much fun. If you guys, again, another shout out to the park. If you guys have a chance, they have a Guardians... I don't remember what exactly it was called, but it was like a Guardians dance party that they do several times throughout the day right in front of the Mission Breakout attraction, mm-hmm. Where you can meet several of the Guardians, and the costume that they have for Groot is just amazing.
Well, Disney has come out with some new gift card designs for you to enjoy. They include Explore, Play, Relax, Shop, Dine, Golf, or Tour, and come in increments of $25 to $500. Disney is calling these designs the Experience the Magic designs. So, not too exciting here. They just got a lot of different designs and stuff for the gift cards, which is good because, you know...
I think they're trying to get people to think a little bit outside of the box as to why they'd be giving someone a Disney gift card. So, with graduations happening right now, Father's mm-hmm. Day just around the corner, they kind of want to remind people that, you know, anytime is a good time to give somebody a Disney gift card. So I think,
I mean, I'd love a Disney gift card.
Oh, for sure. I think so. I think the rebranding, they're hoping will get more people to purchase them for maybe events that they wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, like, the one thing, did you notice, because we did get this from the Disney Parks blog, so we did get this right from Disney. Did you notice, are they just themed these ways, or do you have to use them specifically for these things? So say, like, the shop versus dine versus golf. Can I use the golf one if I'm just visiting the park and wanting to go to dinner? Did they say...
Disney gift cards are redeemable for practically all things Disney throughout Walt Disney World, okay. Disneyland, and the Disney Cruise Line at Disney Store locations in the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico, as well as ShopDisney.com and the Shop Disney Parks app.
All right, so it's just basically the packaging is the only thing that's specific.
In fact, they say here, so if your favorite golfer decides to go shopping instead, the Disney gift card was still the perfect gift.
Perfect.
So that's good. So you kind of give it like with an idea in mind, but if they don't... That's what I like about gift cards, mm-hmm. because... Sometimes, you know, for your birthday, for Christmas, for any time you would get a gift, sometimes, you know, people have it in their, you know, they have this idea for you and they think, like, to them, it's the greatest gift ever, but then they give it to you and maybe it's not exactly what you need at the time.
Sure.
Maybe you have other needs that you'd rather do. So it's nice that you aren't, like, locked in, I guess.
Yeah, for
sure. I like gift cards.
The ESPN Zone closed this past Saturday, but for those of you wondering if all those cast members were laid off or not, 70% of them have been relocated to other areas. I think that's really neat, and that's a very high number. So I wonder if maybe...
So they elected. So that's apparently awesome. All of the cast members working in this location were given the opportunity. Did they want to stay where they, you know, did they want to stay with the company and move to a different position sure. somewhere in the company? Or... Was ESPN Zone the only thing for them, and that's all
they wanted to part ways.
Right. So 30% decided not to stay. 70% have been relocated. I think that's awesome that instead of, you know, people losing their job, because they're just building a new hotel. Like, it's not like ESPN Zone was doing poor business. It was just they had a more important pressing need for that sure. area. So yeah. Why ruin a bunch of people's lives for it? Well, if you're a fan of American Idol, you might have seen this season's winner, Maddie Pop, in the parks last Friday. She got to hang out with the Incredibles as part of Pixar Fest, so that's great to see more celebrities. In fact, I think in our chat, I think Habby was saying that there was a ton of celebrities not too long ago.
Yeah, so it was actually one of the days that I was visiting the park. I think it was the Tuesday that I was there. There were several celebrities that were there. However, I'm terrible and... Even if I was standing right next to one in line, I probably wouldn't recognize them. So I he told me who he saw online was there that day. And as far as I know, I did not see them.
Well, you know, there's thousands of people there.
However, the one cool thing that I did notice, so remember my first day, I went to the left to try to do Indiana Jones.
Yep.
The line was crazy, so I continued on and I went to the Haunted Mansion. Well, when I was coming back from New Orleans Square and Critter Country area, and I was walking past, I don't even know what you want to call it, but the staircases that lead up to the Dream Suite above Pirates.
Yeah.
Both of those staircases, they're always blocked off. There's always, like, you know, this little tiny chain that says it's, like,
yep.
private or whatever, keep out. I don't know what it says.
Yeah.
But they actually had security guards stationed at the base of each of those stairs, which I had never noticed before. And I paid attention the rest of the time that I was there. They did not have people stationed there. So I guess that'd be a really good indicator if you're trying to catch a celebrity and maybe meet a celebrity while you're in the park.
Look for security guards.
See if there's security guards there. I don't know if that's a real tip or not, but there were security guards there, and we did hear that there were some pretty big name celebrities there that day. Well, so
there you go.
2 + 2, you know. Sometimes equals 5.
5, yep. Well, that wraps up the news for this week. So this week we're going to discuss something that we asked about on last week's episode, but we got so... Wasn't it last week that we had with you came back?
Yes, yes.
And we got so distracted... That we went off in a different direction. So this week, Teresa is going to talk about her experience with food at the Disneyland Resort when she was there just a week and a half ago.
Yeah, so I kind of went back through all of my photos, and because I tried to document everything because I knew Tag was going to have a billion questions, and I knew you guys would be interested too. So we will figure out some way to maybe post it either on Patreon or post it on Facebook, but we can post the different... photos of the food that I did experience and enjoy while I was visiting the parks. Thankfully, I did not have anything there that was horrible, which I was surprised once you guys learned some of the things that I did get to try there. So we're just gonna start it off. I broke it up by day, basically, because that was the easiest way for me to figure it out. But the first food item that I ate was
the very first, like the first day,
the first item that I had.
I am surprised,
which was probably the most ridiculously priced thing. But that's okay. I did get to have the root beer float that was served in Woody's boot.
Well, you're paying for the boot.
Yeah. So that was I found that at the Golden Horseshoe. It was like almost $18 to get this thing, but I did have the boot. And I think I mentioned this last week. If you guys are interested in doing this too, you can get this served to you separately, so you don't have to have your root beer float served in the boot and then have to figure out what you're going to do with this sticky, nasty boot the rest of the day that you're going to have to carry on the park. So I opted for the less messy way.
So was the root beer float worth $17.49?
I don't think any root beer float is worth $17.49.
What was Vern saying? He seemed like he was kind of like disappointed with the root beer float.
Yeah, I wasn't too thrilled with it. I mean, it was good. It was a root beer float. I think maybe, I don't know if just specifically in this area we're a little bit a little bit biased, a little bit jaded on root beer floats. We have a lot of places in this area that
make custom,
really good, like homemade root beers. I think this was just a generic, like maybe Barks or something out of the gun. So it wasn't a very good root beer. The ice cream is really good, and it wasn't super hot. So having a root beer float not on a hot day is not ideal either. I do not regret this though, because that boot of Mr. Woody's is proudly displayed in my home now, and the best part about that boot is that Andy signed the bottom of it. So
which is what you were like your first concern when you saw they were coming out with this. Did Andy sign the bottom?
Yes, that was my major concern, as I was really worried, because if he wouldn't have, that would have been
well, you know, it's Disney uproar. And you know that they had to do every little bit as best they could. So what was the second thing you had?
So then for lunch, a lot of the food, I will like say this like right up front, basically everything that we had, Vern and I shared. So
good portion sizes.
Yes, good, great portion sizes. The next thing we had was the garden mozzarella flatbread, which was over at the Red Rose Tavern.
This looked good.
Over in Fantasyland. It was delicious.
It's only $8.99.
Yeah, it was $8.99 for this thing. It was probably, I'm going to guess, probably about at least a foot long, maybe a little bit longer, and probably, I don't know, a good like 6 inches deep. It had six nice sized pieces, but it was really good. It was really fresh tasting and kind of just refreshing. So, and it very light. So,
what time of day?
This was lunchtime.
Lunchtime, okay. Because I think that's important too. Because, you know, if you get it like towards the end of the night, it might be sitting there for a while, kind of a thing. Like maybe lunchtime would be more fresh. I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. That's the other thing too, is I think really any restaurant you go to, especially Disney restaurants, as much as you don't want to hit it up when it's busy, you really want to hit up restaurants when they're busy, because you know that everything's
fresh,
as fresh as it possibly could be. It hasn't been sitting there for a while.
Well, you know, something that I think about when I think about Disney food too, that I don't think a lot of people think about, or at least I guess I just didn't think about for a long time, was if you think about the literally thousands of people that are there, they are preparing thousands of dishes a day. So like, you know, you go to your mozzarella flatbread, hundreds at least
it's
of
crazy.
People are ordering these a day. So they have to, like, the food has to be good, but at the same time, you have to make it like hundreds, maybe thousands of times in a day.
Well,
so that's crazy.
The other part of it too is most of these things you really don't have that long of a wait for. So the Red Rose Tavern is a counter service restaurant, so I'd be surprised if we waited 5 minutes.
So did they have them pre-made just sitting there?
No, I mean, it was coming. I could see it coming out of a kitchen, but I think they're just, you know, they just kind
make
of
them, make them,
maybe,
make them.
Yep. I was going to say maybe they just kind of churn them out. I think it is one of the more popular items, because I did notice a lot of other people there did have the same.
So what was on it? So it had mozzarella.
Mozzarella. So it was a flatbread.
Yeah.
Marinara sauce.
Yep.
It had big chunks, I think, of Roma tomatoes, so slices of Roma tomatoes, and it had slices of mozzarella cheese. So it's not your typical shredded mozzarella cheese on a normal pizza. It was like you took the
fresh mozzarella
and like sliced off a disc of it, I guess would be a good way of
medallions
saying it. Yes. And then it was also had some fresh basil on top of it too.
That sounds great.
delicious.
All right, so we'll go from high scale like flatbread to
So then the next thing we had while we were sitting and waiting for the Pixar Play Parade, we were sitting right next to the churro cart by the Sleeping Beauty Castle. So clearly we had to have a churro. So that was actually my first Disneyland churro, and we did have just the original at that point. The only other churro they were serving at that location at that time was the rose gold strawberry flavored,
which you said was kind of a nauseating smell.
Yeah, sitting next to the cart, the smell didn't seem very appealing to me, so I really didn't want to consume one. But the regular flavored churro was good, and the other thing too, churros are big. I never realized how big.
Oh yeah, they're like
huge,
couple feet long.
Yeah. Couple feet.
Well, I mean, they seem really long.
They're pretty long.
Yeah.
And then, as you guys probably are, you guys already knew this because this is about the time when I was sitting and waiting to get seated for Cafe Orleans is when I called in and spoke with Tag over the phone. So we had dinner at Cafe Orleans. It was just called steak and potatoes on the menu. I'm a big steak person, so you're going to notice that as we continue on here. But it was a chef's choice steak. It was roasted baby potatoes and little baby corn and Brussels sprouts. And then Vern had the Monte Cristo sandwich, which
people always rave about.
Very good. To me, it's very rich, so I don't think I could eat a whole one by myself, but he really enjoyed it. And the price points for that, my steak and potatoes was $24. His sandwich was $21. So a little bit on the pricey side, but the...
Well, $24 for steak and potatoes isn't too bad.
No, I don't think so. And considering Cafe Orleans is a sit-down table service, so we did have a really kind server. I believe his name was Frank. He was really nice, really cool. So, you know, it's a little bit more because you're paying for the atmosphere.
I know we're talking about food, but you just reminded me of something. So did you end up going to City Hall and complimenting any cast members?
So... yes and no. So the last day that we were there, I tried, but they were already closed, so they wouldn't let me do it there. So I did get a survey from Disneyland because I signed up. They have those people in the park that ask for your information to do a survey. So I was nice enough to sign up to do the survey. And in the survey, I mentioned a couple of people. And then I also went online later and gave a couple shout outs to different cast members that were there, too.
Good. It's always good to make sure that you recognize
him. Sure.
You remembered his name, so that's why I was curious if you had.
So he was great. So he was one of the people I gave a shout out to.
Now, this next item I'm a little upset about because you got something. I don't care if it was good or bad or what. You got a macaroon.
I did get a macaroon. So this was my first ever macaroon. So on our way out of the parks, poor Tag. He didn't get a macaroon brought back to him. But so on our way out of the parks, I did stop at the Jolly Holiday Bakery, and for $5.99, I had the Minnie Mouse Rose Gold Macaroon.
How big was the Minnie Mouse Macaroon?
Yeah, it's probably like this.
So it's a pretty large macaroon.
Probably about like maybe a little bit smaller than like the diameter of a softball.
Sure.
It was a good size. Honestly, I didn't want to eat the whole thing myself, but Vern didn't want any of it, so I ended up eating the whole thing myself because it was big enough to share for sure. It was kind of a rose gold pink on the outside. Again, I took photos so we can post them online somewhere, but it was filled with a strawberry and lemon verbena buttercream. So it was really good. I do think that I did myself a disservice by carrying it around with me for a little while and carrying it back to the hotel and then eating it later because the consistency I think was a little bit off, but I think that was my own fault. And I was very fortunate to get the last one of the day, so it may have been sitting there a little bit too long, but that's okay. I'm not discounting macaroons because of this one.
Somewhere in town has macaroons, and I think you and I need to go get them at some point.
All right, so
you ate a lot on Tuesday, but I'm looking at Wednesday, and you only have a couple things listed here.
Because you can see, I get myself distracted. This would be case in point right here.
Okay.
So on Wednesday, we were over in Disney California Adventure.
I don't see a breakfast on here.
Okay, so none of the days have breakfast because our hotel served breakfast. So to save some money and to be able to splurge a little bit more on other food items, we did not do breakfast at the park at all.
Sure.
So Wednesday for lunch, we had... they called it, and this is exactly what it was on the menu. I thought it was called something different, but it's called the taste shifting corn dog. So this was that corn dog that had the sausage, the pepper jack cheese, and then a different I think it was two different types of sausages.
Gotcha.
And that was over at the Corn Dog Castle. That thing was ginormous. There was no way that I would have been able to eat it on my own. Vern and I definitely shared that. It also came with a side. I believe we just had chips with it. And it was $9.49. So I thought that was a really good deal.
It's not too bad if it's huge.
How big it was. I'm telling you, the thing was probably 10, 11 inches long and a very thick diameter because the sausages in there were bigger than kind of, it was more like pieces of brat that was in there. So
yeah.
Think about how big that would be. So
sure.
Really good. And then, yeah, I got distracted and we did all sorts of other things. This is the day we also had Max Pass. So I was like fully using it to its maximum potential.
Right.
And so we decided to go over to the Cove Bar and pay our respects to the Cove Bar. And we did have the lobster nachos. Vern had the Neverland tea and I had the pina colada. So the pina colada was basically a pina colada with raspberry puree in it. The Neverland tea was basically some sort of Long Island iced tea, you know, all sorts, like just a laundry list of ingredients. I do not remember what was in there. The only thing that's for some reason stuck out of my mind, I know gin was part of it.
Now, Vern was saying that for other than the nachos, which was a pretty okay price for the amount of lobster and stuff that was on there, mm-hmm. the drinks were a little pricey for what they were.
I think we're spoiled here in Wisconsin. I think we pay a lot less for alcohol than most other places do. I wasn't able to find what the prices were for the two drinks, but the lobster nachos were $18. However, very large portion, very easily shared by Vern and I. If you're a lobster person, tons and tons. There was a lot of meat on it. I did find out later that you could also, if you're not a lobster person, you can order it with steak. And I think it seemed to me that the chips were thick and they were almost, they like made you feel like they were house made fresh chips. They didn't seem like those thin, just popped them out of a bag kind
right.
of thing. So it was very, very fancy nachos, if you would.
Yeah.
But it was good. So Thursday we were back over in Disneyland. Had to have my Dole Whip float while we were waiting to go see the Tiki Room. So got the Dole Whip float. I did the smart thing, which is amazing to me that so many people don't realize this. I walked past this like mile line long on the outside of the tiki bar, went inside and walked right up to the counter. It's amazing to me that people don't realize that there's two sides of this counter. I maybe shouldn't be talking about this so that it's, you know, going to make it so that it's more congested on the inside. But anyway, so the Dole Whip float is Dole Whip served with pineapple juice. Again, good size. I think they're really reasonable. $4.99 for one of those. Lunch. Never would I thought I would be saying this, but we went to Pizza Planet, and I had the freshest green miso pesto pasta that you
I'm
could
so
possibly
jealous of
have.
This.
It was delicious. I mean, literally, she was making it. I was standing at the counter kind of thinking about it because we had heard mixed reviews on whether it was worth it or not, and it was $10. It was about $10.50 for the pasta dish, so I wasn't really sure, you know, if that's really what I wanted or not. And as I was sitting there looking, there was one plate left. And as I was sitting there and looking, I was just kind of like, on the fence. And all of a sudden, a lady came over and started making it fresh right in this, like, big, huge bowl right
so
in front of me.
So the poor plate that's been sitting there for a while, you're like, I don't know.
I'm like, you know what? And so, she didn't even hesitate. Actually, she suggested, she said, oh, were you waiting for this? And so she made it fresh for me, scooped everything fresh, and it never even touched the table. I guess she just handed it right over. And
it looked like it had like half a pig of bacon on it too.
Lots of bacon, lots of, I'm assuming it was Parmesan, shredded Parmesan cheese mm-hmm. on top. Delicious.
And a pesto sauce, right?
I could not finish it. It was that big.
Oh,
so good. And Vern got the cheeseburger pizza, which I wanted nothing to do with this thing. Nothing. Honestly though, going and seeing it, we were there at a little bit busier of a time, which was annoying because it was busy. But like I said, you're getting fresher food, especially with this kind of counter service
sure.
stuff. So it actually didn't look too bad in person. The thing that made it look more appetizing to me, the pickles were not dehydrated, almost crunchy looking. They were like fresh, juicy looking pickle, thick pickle slices.
I have the opposite reaction than you have. Like, I feel like I'd rather, and I don't want like dehydrated pickles, but I don't necessarily want like fresh, not fresh, like they, I don't know. I wanted like cooked pickles. They looked raw. I don't know. I'm weird. Don't worry about me. Just continue.
I've never had a cooked... I mean, okay, I've had like deep fried pickles. Now I guess that's the only cooked pickle
I've
had.
Now I want a pickle, dang it.
Anyways, so...
Now you're going to hear me talking about pickles for the next like 10 episodes.
Well, okay, so I'm a big pickle person. So honestly, this... Vern tried it first, and he actually took a series of photos of me trying it because he thought it was going to be hilarious. It kind of was hilarious. You know, shockingly enough, I would never order it.
Sure.
I would never order it and eat the whole thing myself. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate trying his. If fast food burgers are your thing, that's exactly what this pizza tastes like. It was a little freaky.
This seems to be a trend because... Like you were talking about beforehand, you were talking about like, oh, cheeseburger pizza, like that sounds terrible.
Ugh.
And then like we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, and you're like, I don't know. But then you went and you totally swapped on both of these.
Well, not really the cheeseburger pizza, let's be honest.
Well, you thought it was fine.
I didn't want to like spit it out right away, but it was good. And the thing that I was a little worried about is I'm pretty sure they use marinara on this as well as ketchup and mustard.
That's weird.
And so that sounded not appetizing to me at all, but it honestly tasted like kind of like a McDonald's cheeseburger, like, you know, a typical fast food cheeseburger.
You know what I like pizza wise and that they could do is so sometimes you can get burgers, like if you go to like Jack in the Box or something, you can get like a Western bacon cheeseburger, and instead of like sauce they use like barbecue sauce. I feel like that makes a good pizza. Like they could have done like a Western burger pizza, and I think it would have been good, because like there's a local pizza place here in town called Polito's, and I always get their barbecue chicken.
Well, I guess
pizza.
You know, the thing, this is how I'm going to look at it. So we're to believe that the aliens, the little green men, took over this restaurant.
And they don't understand food.
And they
don't
understand
food.
Burgers,
everybody pizza.
Likes burgers. Everybody likes pizzas. So why wouldn't everybody like a cheeseburger pizza?
I suppose.
You know, other people I talked to in the park actually said they really liked it. So I'm still one of the odd people out not being the biggest fan of this.
Sure.
But like I said, it wasn't like... immediately I had to like drink half of my soda to get the taste out of my mouth. Not like that at all. So if you would like to try the cheeseburger pizza over at Pizza Planet in Tomorrowland, it was actually a pretty good price point. I thought it was $8.49. Very large piece of pizza, if I could talk.
Sure.
Next thing we had, so our snack for that afternoon.
This is the one with the funny story, right? With the chocolate sauce?
Yes. So the next thing we tried was the Coco Churro, which we got over in the churro cart that's over in Frontierland. $5.75 for the specialty Pixar Fest churro. So this is the one that's dusted in a chocolate powder. And then it comes with this like chili chocolate sauce. And so warning to everybody, I don't mind spice. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm very in the middle with it.
Pepper is too hot for me.
Yeah. Tag on the other hand.
I would have died.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was trying to get a good picture, and we can put the picture online since now I've paid for said picture immensely with my tongue. But anyway, so I dipped it into the sauce. Vern took a picture of like churro with sauce on it. I got way too much sauce on this thing, and I took a bite, and it was like it wasn't burning my taste buds off, but it way more zing and zip than I ever thought it was gonna be. So lesson learned.
You thought like
a little
hint
bit
of spice.
Yeah, a little bit goes a long way with the chocolate sauce, unless you like zip and zing, if that's your thing. That's
sure.
Cool too. So that was my Coco Churro experience. I did think the churro was good both with and without the sauce, so
that's
I thought
good.
That was nice. And then for dinner, we went over to the Plaza Inn. This was actually the first time I had eaten at the Plaza Inn. I was surprised. I didn't realize that it was kind of a counter service type restaurant. I thought it was a table service. They came and gave you your stuff.
It's beautiful restaurant.
It was very, yes, it was gorgeous inside. I opted for the pot roast, and it came with mashed potatoes, fresh green beans, and a buttermilk biscuit. Vern had chipotle pineapple glazed salmon.
I didn't even know they had salmon
and
there.
He loved it. He said it was great.
Makes me want to go there and have some.
So our entrees were $18.50 and $17.99 a piece. So a little bit more spendy, but they, again, very, very large portions. And then we shared the best thing ever. We had a piece of the Pixar lemon raspberry cake. So this is that cake that you've been seeing photographed all over.
The brightly colored.
The bright yellow, the bright blue, and then the bright red. it was delicious. I think it's like a cream cheese type frosting. It was very, very good.
Not too sweet?
Well, a little bit.
Because sometimes the frosting can be really overpowering.
It complemented everything really well. So like the tangy and tartness of the raspberry and the lemon, they complemented each other really well. I thought this was awesome. And really, I thought, again, a pretty good price. It was $5.99. Very decent large slice of cake. Plenty for Vern, both Vern and I. So I was very happy. I didn't want that to end.
I'm jealous because I want to eat one of those now.
But it was very... I'm sorry for anybody that doesn't like this word. Very, very moist. Sometimes cake gets a little like dry and you feel like you have to drink half a glass of water to be able to
Especially in like a or in a counter melted. Service where it might be sitting there for a while.
This just melted in your mouth. It was awesome.
Do they still have that when you walk in? Is in the Plaza Inn, when you first walk in, do they still have that middle bar that like is all the desserts? So like the first thing you see when you walk
first
in are the desserts?
First thing I saw was the Pixar cake. Yes, exactly.
Okay, just making sure.
Exactly. And then so on our final day, we spent the morning over in California Adventure. And we spent the afternoon over in Disneyland. The first thing we had, so I guess for breakfast, I had an ants on a log churro, which was over in the Bugs Land area on their churro cart. This thing was delicious. I think we talked about this last week, but it was a traditional churro with a donut glazed icing that was then sprinkled with like chocolate crispy cereal. It was awesome. I think that was my favorite churro out of all of them.
Now, was this the one that you were a little bummed because where the wrapper is where they handed it to you did not have that?
Yeah, so only half of the churro has the toppings on it. And I guess the more I was bummed, but the more I thought about it, the more it made sense because if you've got that little piece of paper that you're, you know, around it, it's the toppings aren't going to stay on.
No, I don't want to take you off track here, but like I'm looking at the list for Friday, the rest of the list for Friday. Mm-hmm. And did you not get anything from the Cozy Cone Motel?
We didn't.
Oh, wow. Because they have some good stuff in there.
Yeah. Well, see, Vern really wanted what he had for lunch. That was like one of his Disneyland bucket list items. We had to have it before we left. So the ants on a log churro was $5.25. So I noticed it was interesting. I did notice a couple of the places that say like the churros or some of the things that you kind of saw all over the place. You have to watch the prices. Some of the carts have them slightly, the prices do fluctuate. I thought it'd be a standard, you know, I'll say all churros are $3.50 or $3.75 or whatever. Yeah. But I did notice, if you really paid attention that it did change.
I was just saying the cocoa churro was $5.75, the ants on a log was $5.25, your regular churro was $3.54 on there.
I don't remember because like I said, each cart was different. So depending on what cart we were at, and I didn't find specifically the Sleeping Beauty Castle cart what their price was. But I thought that was really interesting. That was not something I would have ever expected and nothing I had ever really paid attention to before. But yeah, so anyway, so then after that, I went over, it was perfect because the sun was out, it was the most beautiful day we were there, it was starting to get hot, and I was like, you know what, that Pixar Pier parfait sounds like it would be amazing right now. So I told Vern, he was going to go over and take photos of the PAL around, and they had just put up some of the new cars, or the gondolas on there. So he wanted to go over and take some closer photos of it, so that we could share them with you guys. So he's like, I'm going to go do that while you wait in line. Well, I walk over to the adorable snowman frozen treat stand, and there was no line. It was like the heavens opened up, and it was just this like, oh, moment. Because every other time that we had walked by, there was this crazy long line. So that, I don't know how the timing on that worked out so well, but it did. So that was great. And so the Pixar Pier Parfait was $5.99. Very good size, though. It was comparable to the size of what the Dole Whip float was. So if you guys are familiar with roughly what that size is, that's what this was. So again, this was the lemon soft serve with the kind of blue raspberry slush, and the mix of the two was great. I really enjoyed it. I could see how this is going to be a very popular thing, definitely on a hot summer day in California. They're going to be selling these like crazy for sure.
I'm interested to see what the other food locations when they open, like the chicken thing and what that food's going to be like. It seems like, and we've talked about this a lot on the episode over on the show in the last few episodes when we've talked about food, is it really seems like whoever's dealing with their food, they've really like kicked it up a notch.
For sure. I feel like we're getting a lot of things that are now more Disney specific, I guess would be a good way of saying it. It's not like, let me back up. The pot roast, really, I could get. I mean, you can get pot roast anywhere, but like Chipotle pineapple glazed salmon, I feel like that's a little bit more, you know, more specific.
Sort of unique.
Yeah. Obviously, things like Neverland tea, very Disney.
Right.
But anyways, so then for lunch, I did not partake in this, but Vern, like, again, this was his like bucket list thing. He kept seeing these T-shirts all over the place that said Dole Whip, like my Disneyland like checklist, and it was Dole Whip, churro, and turkey leg. So he had to stop and get a turkey leg. So he went over and got a turkey leg from a cart over in California Adventure. I want to say it was roughly $11. I really think his was about $12. Other places we looked, it was closer to $11 or $10. So this was the item that I noticed fluctuating and varied in price depending on what cart you were getting it from.
Well, I'll tell you, I got a turkey leg because I was kind of in the same boat as Vern, where I like people like raved about it.
Yeah.
And it's actually a bigger thing in Disney World, actually, mm-hmm. than it is in mm-hmm. Disneyland. But I got one a few years ago, and my crummy luck with it, because you got to hold it by the bone. Like, it's a leg.
Of course, yeah.
And that's how you eat it. Well, they gave me one, and the bone was broken, so it was like flopping to the side.
No.
So I'm trying to like eat it, and I don't like messy food anyway. So I'm like, I took a few bites, and I thought it was okay. Whoever I was with, I don't even remember who I was with at the time. I said, "Here, do you want any of this?" They took a couple bites, and then we ended up like ditching most of it because like it was so hard to eat. Yeah. It was like shattered bone thing. I don't know. I should have asked the cast member to swap it for another one. I'm sure they would have done that for me, but I just I got it in Frontierland by the Mark Twain, and I was so excited because like everybody was talking about these, and I'm not like a huge turkey fan anyway. When I had it, I thought like it was pretty good. Did Vern like it?
He liked it. I'm not a big turkey person either, but man, like walking past other people and, you know, sitting across from Vern when
he
was
eating his, amazing.
They smelled so good. So I did have a piece of it. It was good.
To me, it's like coffee. Like I can't drink coffee, but I love the smell of coffee.
And then Friday evening to wrap up our trip there, that Friday evening is when we did the Fantasmic dining package over at the Blue Bayou. This was a little bit steeper, so this was definitely our splurge for the week. It was $69 a person for this dining package. However, you do get
it.
A starter, an entree, plus a dessert, and then, you know, obviously you get the seat cushion and then the like phenomenal viewing area for Fantasmic.
So you think it was worth it?
I think it was worth it. Yeah, this might become something that we do more frequently. Maybe not each visit, but definitely more frequently. You know, I just really enjoy the Blue Bayou in general. So to me,
even with Pirates closed,
to me the bonus of getting the awesome viewing for Fantasmic, which is my favorite show, it's kind of like a match made in heaven, really. My favorite place to dine plus my favorite show, front seats. So I mean, really, it's like the perfect Teresa thing. But anyway, so I had the house salad, the surf and turf, which was a filet mignon and lobster tail, and then the amazing Sorcerer Mickey dessert. So this thing, I don't even really know what it was. It was all sorts of amazing desserts kind of wrapped into one. The main ingredient, though, there was a mousse that was wrapped around like a Bananas Foster thing. It was so good. That is the slowest I've ever taken eating a dessert because I did not want it to end. I've kind of felt a little bad for the server because I was probably being that ridiculous about the tiniest bites that I could possibly take so I could keep eating it.
You have the opposite thing that I do. If I like something, I just like scarf it down and I want more.
No, I like sit there and savor it for sure. Vern had the gumbo, which the gumbo was awesome.
James had the gumbo and also said the gumbo was great.
He had the herb crusted rack of lamb, which he said was also amazing.
The picture he had of that made it look great.
So I tried the gumbo, super good. Tried the lamb, also very good. I'm a much bigger steak person, so I wouldn't have traded with him.
Right.
And then he had the vanilla creme brulee, which, if you're a creme brulee person, that was also very heavenly. It was one of those things between our two desserts. He and I both had a hard time deciding who had the better one. They were just both fantastic.
I feel like the Sorcerer Mickey dessert, just from how it looks, I would have liked it
more. You
know,
this is really probably a little embarrassing and ridiculous, but as soon as it came out, it took me like 5 to 10 minutes before I like had enough courage to like stab it with my fork because it was just so pretty. I didn't want to ruin and wreck it.
The server did hate you if it took you that long to get into it and then you took a little tiny bite. Yeah. So like, Fantasmic is over, Teresa. You gotta like go.
Yeah, it was fun. But it was a really unique dining experience though, because that was the first time that I've eaten at the Blue Bayou while Pirates was closed. And so it was interesting. I mean, obviously you didn't have the little boats floating by every once in a while full of people about to go on the attraction. But I noticed that there was a couple of the effects were not on. So the I don't even know. Maybe he's got a nickname. We'll have to look that up. The gentleman that's on the banjo his porch. Guy. That's, yeah, playing the banjo on his rocking chair. He was really kind of creepy. They didn't have any sort of lighting on him at all. And but he was still rocking his chair. He's still doing his thing. They also did not have any of the Firefly lights on, which kind of threw me.
That's a bummer because those are really cool.
So yeah. So I was a little bummed because when we went, they did not have any seating that would have put us right next to the water, which is where I really like to sit and eat there because then you just really get to take it all in. But since all the effects weren't on and really the banjo guy was super creeping me out even from where I was sitting, I don't think I would have wanted to be closer to him. So, yeah.
All right. Well, because we're live streaming this episode, we asked our people in the Patreon, in the chat for some questions for this episode. Yeah. So we didn't do any research. I'm literally just going to ask what was asked in here. So here's the question. So Doug said, if you could bring one attraction from any of the international Disney parks, what would which would it be and why? This one's tough, Doug.
This is a really tough one.
So the Tim Tracker, which I know you also watch because we've talked about it in the chat before, just came back. Him and Jen just went to Tokyo Disneyland, which I described to James, and I think this is totally true. So for those of you that don't know this, the Tokyo Disney Resort is not owned by Disney. It's actually all of the intellectual property for Disney is licensed by the Oriental Land Company. And so the Oriental Land Company wants to make a bunch of money. So anytime they come up with a new attraction or that they want to build a new attraction or a new park, I literally just describe it that they just like throw money at it. So they're like, hey, we want an Indiana Jones adventure like in the States. But we're not going to have a budgetary problem. Here's all the money you need. Make it happen. So they have an amazing version of the Indiana Jones Adventure, which is my first go-to because they have some special effects and stuff that we don't have at our Disneyland version. So that would be my first instinct. But I'm trying to think of like of another attraction. I guess I would say I don't remember which park it's in. I think it's in the Tokyo park.
Okay, well, while you're thinking...
Mystic Manor is what it's called. Oh, I don't know what park it's in, but it's a trackless ride system. It's like a Haunted Mansion-like attraction. Whatever park it was at, are you looking it up for me?
Yep.
Okay, so Mystic Manor is like... It takes the place of the Haunted Mansion for wherever it's at. Where is it? Is it Tokyo?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. So Hong Kong, that's probably the attraction I'd like to see come over here. What do you think?
All right, so I agree with Mystic Manor. I think that would be cool. I kind of forgot about that one until you just brought it up. But when Doug first asked this question, my gut instinct was the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Tokyo Disney Sea.
Oh, yeah.
I just love how you feel like you're in the middle of battle with that one. That one just looks so, so cool.
But I guess the reason that I'm kind of it's hard though because if you were to replace,
but I don't want to replace our Pirates. You just want to add a Pirates. I would just like that one in addition, or if they just would extend it out, so then I just ride both rides, you know, both of the attractions at once.
Okay,
so you then go through the classic and then you go through the new thing.
All right, so then Laura asked, "What attraction would you like to see be turned into a movie?" And we kind of talked about this. The attraction that I would like to see turned into a movie already was a movie.
Yeah, me too.
And they just need to remake it. It was the Haunted Mansion. They need to make a version that isn't terrible.
I'm going to... Okay, so since we've already talked about the Haunted Mansion, and since you and I both agree that we need a good Haunted Mansion, let's go with something else. What would you think?
Tower of Terror.
That was kind of already a TV show. Well, I guess, whatever. But so I'm going with like Disney original ideas.
Sure.
So I think that Big Thunder Railroad, since we talked about a few episodes back, the actual backstory of why the train's there. So remember, it's this abandoned ghost town that's like the trains are now haunted or whatever.
Okay.
And I think that would make a really cool, really interesting plot line for a movie.
Yeah.
What about the Matterhorn? You could do a movie based on the Matterhorn.
Well, the Matterhorn already had a movie. The Matterhorn's based on a movie.
Oh, okay.
Kind of the same thing with the Jungle Cruise. Like maybe the Jungle Cruise would be fun because I think they are coming out with the Jungle Cruise. There was a rumor.
I was gonna say that sounds very familiar, but it may have.
If they take the humor from, Jumanji. If they did like a Jumanji kind of that level of humor and stuff, but Jungle Cruise, I'd be all about it.
There you go.
All right. Next question, also from Laura. If you had full access to the park for one night, what would be the first place you'd explore? I would explore. Oh god, that's a hard one too. Pirates. I want to walk around all the crazy maze that is the backstage area of Pirates.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking up Jungle Cruise.
If you had full access to the park for one night, what would be the first place you would explore? Pirates. I think back.
I would. Pirates would be there. Sure. I would also really, really, really want to go to Space Mountain and flip the lights on.
Oh, yes. That would be a good one, too.
Just because I'm so curious as to what that like looks like in real life.
Sure. And then she's got another one here that says, what's the dumbest way you've been injured? Oh, God, that's a hard one. So... I won't get into a whole story, but basically, my friend Beth and I were stupid and, we were driving a car improperly and we crashed in the middle of the Nevada desert and her arm got really screwed up and she has scars to this day on it. And I, probably should have died knowing how the car looked. So that's probably the dumbest way I've been injured, because it was just us being stupid. If you mean dumbest by like the silliest, stupidest thing, it's got to be stupid stuff like, you know, stubbing your toe on the ottoman upstairs or something like that. What do you think? Do you have something?
I really don't have anything because I'm lame and I've never even broken a bone. I'm almost 30 years old and I've never broken a bone. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I've never all broken a bone either. So let's
look, that's one thing we have in common.
Let's not have that happen.
All right. So as we wrap up, we want to thank all of you for listening each and every week. If you like what you're hearing and want to support this podcast, you can help us out by becoming a patron. Our patrons, like we've already mentioned, get some pretty awesome perks, including access to a chat with us, plus fellow Disneyland Park fans, and some Disneyland Weekly swag. Find out more at disneylandweekly.com/support. And again, shout out, thank you to Nathan, and congratulations to Priscilla, who we pulled out of the hat today, who will be our first patron guest for a discussion topic this month, if she chooses. No pressure. Honestly, Priscilla, no pressure. I don't want you to think that we're like calling you out and you're going to have to do it, but we're really excited to have our first person on.
That's true. And if you want to support the show and watch us stream it live, like some people have been doing tonight as we've been going, and see, you know, how the sausage is made. It was pretty boring the first like hour because we were writing the script and whatnot, but we chatted about stuff and it sometimes can be interesting too. You can also do that and become a patron at the cast member level or above and get in on that. So if you are in the midst of saving for your next Disneyland trip and can't support the show with money, then help us out by sharing Disneyland Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you know. If you're going to the park soon and want to be wearing some Disneyland Weekly swag, head on over to disneylandweekly.com/store to pick some up. Also, I would like to say before I forget, what was the gentleman's name who was sharing us on social media that was in the chat? Was it Bob? I think it was Bob. So thank you, Bob, for pushing some people our way. We did just find out that another Disneyland podcast has come to an end, and they're going to like a video thing. And that may be good for some people and not good for others. So thank you, Bob, for sharing it. So if you came over from that podcast to ours, welcome. We're glad to have you. And for those of you who will be joining in the future, we welcome and we're glad to have you as well.
All right, so we love seeing reviews on iTunes, plus it helps keeps our ranking better so more people can find us and join the community. If you want to join in the conversation, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or by sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com. Please feel free to email, Facebook, or tweet at us any questions, feedback, or suggestions that you may have about the show.
We'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
Life can always use more Cedar Point, and right now you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.